I want to add my welcome to all of you. There are a couple of folks who are new, so let me take just a minute and make sure that I've set the stage properly for what we're doing. We have been now for some weeks working through a list that comes out of James 3:17. This is in the context of the lesson series that we've had over the last year or so, looking at lists out of the Bible. The particular list we're looking at in James 3:17 is one of three lists that we're eventually going to work through. List that T.W. Hunt has explored in a workbook that he calls The Mind of Christ. Claude King helped him write that and prepare that, and some of you have copies of that. The idea here is a simple one. There are things, there are words in Scripture. These three places, James 3:17 and the other two, are places where we will find lists of words that describe Jesus' character. And if we can understand what those words mean, we're perhaps better able to follow the Spirit's leadership to develop those characteristics in ourselves. Jesus called us to the narrow way, saying the broad way was easy to find, but the narrow way was hard. A narrow way tends to have drop-offs on both sides. And so the picture that we have, or at least we're going to be working on for a little while, is that these characteristics of Jesus, Satan would just as soon us be at the opposite of that. And so he's going to try to pull us to the other side. But if that somehow doesn't work, then his second tactic is to take us from that word and try to push us into characteristics that would be a perversion of that, not so much the opposite, but a distortion of that. And so if we can see where that characteristic stands, we can see what the opposites are and see what the perversions are. Maybe we're a little better armed to be able to follow the Spirit in that narrow way. We've looked at six words so far out of James 3:17. We're stealing these words in this form from P.W. Hunt: pure, peaceable, gentle, treatable, merciful, and fruitful. And we come today to the word steadfast. And I propose that we begin by looking for synonyms and then expand that as we're able to. So if you have a copy of the workbook, you may be armed with a flashcard or with a page or something like that. You'll be able to cheat a little bit. Cheating is encouraged in this particular setting, especially if you have that worksheet book. Or you may just think about what that word might mean for you. What's the word? What are synonyms, other words that might stand alongside of it?
Committed.
Unwavering.
I don't know if there's two P's or not, but I'll pretend there are. Unwavering.
Dependable,
that's a good word. We can get that first out.
A lot.
Committed, unwavering, dependable, a rock. I was late this year preparing the Christmas letter. I'm the one in the family that writes the Christmas letter. Somehow I got busy over Christmas, didn't get it done. Got busy in between New Year's and started classes and didn't get it done. And so I finally tackled at least the first draft yesterday. And I use that word about my brother, who's been the person who's the principal caregiver for my mom and dad, and now for my mom since we lost dad. And I think many of you will think about people who are that. Scripture uses that word to describe our Lord about as often as it uses any other. So that's a good one. Now, somebody was saying something else.
Diligent.
Diligent. I was thinking you said it.
Persistent.
Integrity. Other words? Anybody?
Untiring.
Untiring.
Faithful.
Yeah, that word dependable is sort of growing in this corner with some of these words that you just put on in the last few minutes.
So my version of the Bible, I was wondering if you're going to discuss it. My version says impartial. It uses the word impartial after fruitful. I wonder how that fits in.
I don't know. Let's see. Shall we? The list that T.W. Hunt put down had a few other words. One was constant. Some of you may be aware that there's a at least one ship in the British Navy at some point called HMS Constant. And I think there was a Susan B. Constant who may have been somebody's name that brought the people to Jamestown. Resolute was another. Abiding, which I thought was good. Now, I ran across some words that T.W. Hunt didn't use, but that I think might speak a little bit to us. And let's just see if they do. One word that I saw in my list of things is grounded. Have you been to workshops or times of sort of group work and this kind of thing where you talk about somebody being grounded? What does that word mean to you?
Good roots.
Yeah. In the context of last week when we were talking about fruitful, there's this wonderful verse that's repeated almost verbatim from Isaiah the 2 Kings. Mm-hmm. And in that verse, he talks about the ideal for the faithful people of God was to be roots below and fruit above. If you don't have the roots below, it's going to be pretty hard to have fruit above. And so, as soon as I got grounded, I went to rooted. And I found myself thinking about a firm foundation, a solid place to stand. Another word that I found sort of in this family, which I think is a little different from some of the things up here, was anchored. Have you ever noticed that your television is sometimes watching shows that you don't watch? You ever notice that? Maybe that doesn't happen in your house. It happened this week. I happened to notice that the television was watching a show, and it's not important what show it was, but there was a young woman on there who lived all her life in New York and found herself out in the wilderness, and she was supposed to spend the night on a boat, carefully tied the boat to the dock, and awoke in the morning to find no dock, no town, no civilization, no nothing, just water and in the distance mountains and all of this. And I thought the word anchor, which I'd already been thinking about, sort of worked a little bit. That's at least a way you can hold still out there in the middle. She wasn't still at all. Centered is another word that sort of comes from the same territory as this one. Have you heard that word used? Centered?
Focused?
Stable? Yeah, and stable might be as good as any in there. We finished the first hour, and Barbara came up and said, and it was not surprising for her to say so, when I think of this word steadfast, I think of my daddy. My father would have different words that would have best fit him. This isn't necessarily a word that, it wouldn't have best fit him alone, but her dad, this would. And the story I think that best illustrates this for me anyway, there was a time in one of the houses we lived in back in there that we decided we needed a disposal in our sink. And we didn't have the resources that allowed us to go out and just have somebody else put it in for us. So I was putting in the disposal. Barbara's dad and mom were visiting us. And so as I began to work on putting in the disposal, he pulled up a chair and sat and watched. Now, let me explain a little bit the significance of this. For a good part of his working career, he worked in a series of what was once called department stores. And his department was kitchens, cabinets, dishwashers, and the installation of same. And he supervised big groups of people in big stores in big towns. So here he is sitting watching me. And I get most of the way through the work, and I suddenly realize that I have put one thing in upside down 30 steps before. I've gone way past this point. The only way to get back to the point where I can fix that is to take everything off and go all the way back. I could feel my shoulders just sink, and I let out a sigh. I looked up, and he's looking at me. And I said, I put that in upside down. He says, yeah. And I said, you knew that, didn't you? Yeah. Well, why didn't you tell me? You didn't ask. And one of the things I noted about him before that sort of came into mind. He didn't talk very much. But when he talked, everybody around stopped what they did and listened. Now, there's some brokerage someplace that made a big deal out of the advertising about when so-and-so speaks, everybody listens. My father-in-law was the embodiment of that kind of thing. And this word does fit him pretty well. Thoughtful sort of comes in as maybe a parallel to this, because typically that would come. Okay. What are the opposites for this?
Wishy-washy.
Yeah, we've got actually, we can do it backwards this time. We've got an unwavering over here. What can we do?
Wavering,
right?
Lazy.
So wishy. Washy. I just put Charlie Brown in the first hour and they knew what it was. Lazy. Okay.
Flighty.
We're going to have a lot of E's here.
Drifting.
Yeah. If you pick up this word, we decided that's a little fancier way of saying it. But the idea of a drift might come in. We're going to do just a little more with that in just a minute.
Undependable.
Yeah. Uncommitted. What's the opposite of diligent?
Lazy.
Easily distracted.
Easily distracted.
Unfocused.
Kind of think about going where the wind blows.
Somebody the first hour tried to give me the word vacillating, and then I tried to spell it and realized that was probably the worst thing they could have done to me. I just put a whole bunch of vertical lines dots across the top. But if you can figure out how to spell it, that's one you might want to put on your list. Here's a couple of other words that he put down. Waffling has been in the news over the past while, especially where politicians are concerned. Indecisive, hesitant, halting, unsure. These are words that might stand over here. If Satan can't pull us from here back to here, Satan might try to push us past this. What are some words that might fall over here?
Bossy. I think it's going to be bossy.
Yeah, and I'm going to put your word down. And I'm going to put a couple of the words that P.W. Hunt put down, which I think is a little bit stronger than bossy. Dictatorial. Tyrannical was another. Tyrannical. Those are extra letters that you can throw in. If you decided they should be
awesome. Bossy.
Hockey.
Yeah. Inflexible?
Yeah, inflexible I think comes real close to one of the big points. One of the big points that T.W. Hunt was making. He used words like rigid, inflexible, narrow-minded, one of my personal favorites, obstinate, because you can be obstinate about whether to spell it with a T-E or an N-T.
Oh, ruthless.
Despotic was another that went up here with your word, Bossy. Don't you dare go there. Don't you dare go there. Okay, somebody said one and I didn't get it down. Ruthless. Kim isn't ruthless, but some of the rest of us might be. Intransigent was another one. And I practiced for a week to make sure I could say that correctly. How about that? You try to say it once and see if you can do it. Yeah, it's good. Practice, okay. I'm still playing with the iPod I got back last fall. And I have decided that the podcast in the New York Times are not helping my blood pressure, my stress levels, and other things. And so I've tried to turn those off. I haven't been able to turn them off yet, but at least I don't have to put them on my iPod anymore. And I've gone instead to a couple of other things. And one of the things I started this week was podcasting from a fellow by the name of Robbie Zacharias. Some of you may have heard of him. And in one of the ones that he was talking about this week, he laid out something that I think may have some connection to what we're trying to talk about with this word. And here's what he said. Everybody has had, almost certainly everybody in this room has had this experience. You're at a traffic light driving your car, okay? And you're stopped, but something close to you begins to move. And you begin to interpret the movement as your movement against this other one being stationary. And the question he asked was, what is the first thing you do when that happens? You slam on the brakes. Why? Because if you are moving, you don't want to be at that moment. And then he asked this question, which I thought was much better. What is the second thing you do? First thing you do is easy. You slam on the brakes harder. You know, if your foot was on the brakes, you really push down to make sure. What's the second thing you do? Look around for what? To see if you can find things that aren't moving so that you can measure what you're doing relative to them. You hear that? Now here's the thought that he took you to from there. What happens if everything in the world that you see, it's all moving? What do you do then? Because that's the world we live in. What the world presents to us, everything is moving. God has put things in this world that don't move. And if you know where they are, and you keep your eyes on them, then you know what you're doing relative to something that's stationary. And then words like grounded and centered and anchored and firm foundation, they start to take on meaning. This word comes alive for me at that point. I don't know if this helps you. Okay. Let's take a little bit of time and go into Scripture and see some things that Scripture talks about. I want to take you first to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Right after the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you've got Acts, Romans, and 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to look at the last verse. I want to look at the last verse of the chapter. Verse 58 in my translation. So then, my dear brothers, keep firm and unmovable, my translation says. There's one translation that says steadfast and unmovable. Are there any other words that are used in those places? Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, the last verse, verse 58. Was there another word? Strong, it says. Firm. Stand firm. Mm-hmm. Let nothing move you. Okay. Keep firm and unmovable. But then it adds, always abounding in energy for the Lord's work. Always abounding in energy for the Lord's work. Being sure that in the Lord, not one of your labors is wasted. The King James says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Turn to 1 Peter. That's in between Hebrews and Revelation. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, chapter 5. I'm going to start reading at verse 8. Keep sober and alert, because your enemy, the devil, is on the prowl like what? Yeah, not just a lion, but a roaring lion. My television this week stumbled across the Discovery Channel. I don't think it was Animal Planet. I think it was the Discovery Channel. And they had a videographer out. Have you heard that word, videographer? Somebody takes videos, I guess. There was this guy who decided to see how close he could get to a bunch of lions and lion cubs. Yeah, And his goal was to get really, really close while they were feeding. And they showed him with pictures of this.
Yeah.
I showed him pictures of this. And one of the things you learned if you watched this thing was that if the lion turned and looked at you, you probably ought to be a little bit concerned. And if he growled, you ought to be really concerned, because that's when he went running for the Land Rover, was when the thing started to growl. He would say, okay, I guess that's close enough for today, and he'd come back the next day. I guess he's still alive, but I thought he was a little bit of an idiot. The devil is on the prowl like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Stand up to him, my translation says, strong in faith and in the knowledge that it is the same kind of suffering that the community of your brothers throughout the world is undergoing. In the first hour, there was a couple that works for the IMB. They're leaving this week for China, and they're going to be visiting in China for almost 2 weeks. One of the things they're going to do is meet people whose legs have been broken in an attempt to try to stop them from talking about Jesus in that country. On the surface, it looks like things are well with the church in China. There seems to be information that maybe there's a little bit more to it than that. You only have to suffer for a little while, verse 10 says, the God of all grace who called you to eternal glory in Christ will restore you. He will confirm you. He will strengthen you. He will support you. The foundation is there, but all you have to do is grab on and hold on. His power lasts forever and ever. I picked this up because this is what I hold in my hands when I'm in the choir loft at the traditional service. And we sang a song this morning, and I want to read a little bit to you because I don't think you heard this hymn today in your worship service. First verse, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. Third verse, praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with His love He befriends thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. Let me take you to 1 Timothy chapter 6. This particular verse doesn't have the word stand in it. It doesn't have the word steadfast in it. But I still think it's trying to talk about the same thing. It's a book just barely the other side of Hebrews, back towards the middle of the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And I want you to go to verse 20. We're going to read the last two verses in the letter. My dear Timothy, Paul writes, take great care of all that has been entrusted to you. And he's not talking about pots and pans, and he's not talking about houses and lands, and he's not talking about food and clothes. Take great care of all that has been entrusted to you. Turn away from godless philosophical discussions and the contradictions of the knowledge, that's in quotes in my Bible, which is not knowledge at all. By adopting these things, some have missed the goal of faith. Part of steadfast is recognizing who God is and holding on to Him. Turn to John chapter 9. This is again a place where it doesn't talk about stand or steadfast, but it's still talking about the same thing. John chapter 9. I'm going to start at verse 4 and read a couple of verses. Jesus is speaking. As long as day lasts, we must carry out the work of the one who sent me. The night will soon be here when no one can work. What's the difference between day and night in the metaphor that he's using? One has light. One doesn't have light. We must carry out the work of the one who sent me as long as the day lasts. The night will soon be here when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as Jesus is with us, There are things that need to be done, and a steadfast person is at work on those. Now, we're going to end this morning on Ephesians. The first hour gave me a little less time than you did, so we may finish early, but let's see what we can do. I want you to turn to Ephesians. You found 1 Corinthians a little while ago, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. It's three little books past where you were in 1 Corinthians. We're looking at chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to start at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Mine says, grow strong in the Lord with the strength of His power. Pause just that far. Whose power makes us strong? His power. Grow strong in the Lord with the strength of His power. Put on the full armor of God so as to be able to resist the tactics of the devil. For it is not against human enemies that we have to struggle, but against the principalities and the ruling forces who are masters of the darkness in this world, the spirits of evil in the heavens. That is why you must take up all of God's armor, or you will not be able to put up any resistance on the evil day or stand your ground, even though you exert yourselves to the full. So stand your ground with truth as a belt around your waist. What's our word for next week?
Honest.
Honest. So stand your ground with truth as a belt around your waist and uprightness as a breastplate. Carrying for shoes on your feet, for shoes on your feet, the eagerness to spread the gospel of peace, and always carrying the shield of faith so that you can use it to quench the burning arrows of the evil one. And then you must take salvation as your helmet and the sword of the Spirit, that is the Word of God. In all your prayer and entreaty, keep praying in the Spirit on every possible occasion. Never get tired of staying awake to pray for God, all of God's holy people. Steadfastness may be best summarized in those few verses that we just read. You're able to stand your ground. Why? You've got God's strength. You've got God's armor. You've got God's protection. And you know how it fits. You're comfortable in it. You know how to move.
I think we can because we discipline ourselves to do it.
There's a translation, I think it's the King James Version, that says, and having done all, to stand. We talk a lot about taking a stand and so forth. Sometimes that's hard to do if you don't know where the ground is it's safe to stand on. There's a parable that Jesus told, a story that Jesus told, that had a rock in it. Somebody built a house on it. What happened? The rain came, the floods rose, the storm beat against that house, but what happened? It stood. Why? So he found it on a rock. Somebody else built, what did they build on?
Sand.
Built on the sand. The rain came down, the floods came up, the storm beat against that house, what happened? It fell, and it washed away. Why? It wasn't founded on a rock. Steadfast isn't a quality we have as much as a quality that God has living through us. When the Spirit comes alive in us, we can become steadfast when we work in His power, with His tools, in His ways, in His places, with His agenda. And more than anything else, that's what this word is trying to tell us today. What's our word for next week? Let's work on that one. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Father, we thank You for the time You give us. We thank You for the challenge of thinking about things Your ways. And I pray that this morning some of the words that have been said will open up people's hearts to the work of Your Spirit, so that during the week to come, all of us may recognize the opportunities we have for service and work, opportunities where You've already been at work, and we can join You there. We pray that You would watch over our fellowship, bring us back together at the appropriate times, and guard us when we're apart from each other. All this we pray in your Son's name. Amen.